Welcome to the Retirement Risk Show, the best retirement interviews and advice with Dave Hall. Learn strategies to help you reduce and even eliminate the risks facing your retirement.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Dave Hall, your host, back again to talk about how I can help you get through the longest self-imposed period of unemployment most of you will have in your lifetime. Could be 10 years, could be 20 years. Heck, it might even be 30 or 40. It is what we call retirement, and it is my job as a retirement risk advisor to help you not only identify the risks that exist out there facing your retirement, but also to help you reduce or eliminate each of these risks. If you would like to learn more about what we do, or get access to our planning tools, our resources, go ahead and go to my website, retirementriskadvisors.com, where you can get access to everything we have to offer. It's my opportunity this week to be able to take the whole show by myself. This is something I try to do on a monthly basis. It gives me an opportunity to address a number of issues that I would like to address, make sure that you listeners are kept up on. You know that the other 3 weeks we'll usually invite a guest in and talk about various topics that we believe they know about that are very important to your retirement as well. Today we're going to be talking about the hot topic that's out there on most everyone's mind, and that is inflation risk. We will be talking primarily about I-bonds and how they interact with inflation, how they can be beneficial if you do have high levels of inflation. But I first want to make sure you understand what inflation risk is, and that is that the risk that inflation is going to erode your buying or purchasing power in retirement. It acts as a tax against your savings account. So for many people, if you're in retirement on a fixed asset amount where you're getting fixed income off of those assets, what we find is it becomes very problematic because the only inflation-adjusted source of income that most people have is their Social Security. So if you've got $100,000 out there, and let's say you've invested very conservatively, maybe you've got it in a bank account making 0.5% interest, and yet we have 9% inflation rate as we've currently had, you've got a major problem from a spending standpoint going forward, because that $100,000 no longer buys $100,000 worth of goods and services. Now it's going to buy $91,000 worth of goods and services. And if we look into the next year and we have another high level of inflation, as it looks like we may have, maybe it's 6, 7, 8%, now you've lost an additional $6, 7, $8,000 off of the purchasing power of the money that you have. You can see it doesn't take long in high inflationary environments for an individual to end up losing the buying power of a substantial amount of their savings account. If you're going into retirement at age 60, and even with a 3% inflation rate, if you look at that over a period of 24 years, what you're going to find is your buying power is going to be cut in half. By the time you're 84, your $100,000 or $1 million or $2 million, whatever the case may be, is only going to be able to buy half as many goods and services. Now, there is a calculation you can use to help yourself figure out the impact inflation will have on your retirement. That is by using the rule of 72, only in reverse. So most of us have used the rule of 72 to help us calculate how fast our assets will double as we're in the accumulation phase. If I have $100,000 and I'm getting an 8% rate of return, I divide that 8 into 72, I get 9. That's 9 years that it's going to take approximately for my $100,000 to become $200,000. Another 9 years, my $200,000 will become $400,000. From an inflation standpoint, a good rule of thumb is to take the inflation rate. So right now we've got a 9% inflation rate. You divide that into 72, going to give you 8. When you look at that number, that's the number of years it will take for $100,000 to lose approximately half of its buying power. Another 8 years, you're going to be down to a quarter of the buying power of the original $100,000. So as you look at for your own retirement, a good way to just get some estimates, understand that many of you think that you're investing in a safe environment by putting money into bank accounts, certificates of disappointment, money market accounts, but realize that with current inflation rates and current interest rates, you've got a major problem because those interest rates are not even coming close to keeping up with the inflation rates that we're experiencing. So as a result, even though you think you're in a safe environment, you're not having your money go down, you're not seeing the balance get reduced each year, the real honest fact of it is that you're still losing buying power, and it's having a very negative impact on your future retirement because you'll have to spend more money each year to buy the goods and services you need. rent's going to go up, food's going to go up, utilities are going to go up. Now you're going to end up having to spend more of your money to be able to buy these goods and services, which leads to the number one problem retirees have, which is they're running out of money before they run out of retirement. 68% of America worries about this. Just over 50% are actually running out of money during the retirement. So it's proving to be a very valid concern, but it's definitely something that we need to pay more attention to, that we need to calculate into our retirement. I will tell you, it is my belief, this is my opinion, that we will have a period of deflation coming up. May have inflation for another year or so, and then I expect a couple of years of deflation, and then that we would go back to normal inflation rates. Why do I say that? Because as you look at the statistics out there and the demographics, what we find is the baby boomers have already hit their peak spending. They did that back in 2016, and yet the millennials will not hit their peak spending until we get closer towards the end of the 2020s. So we have a window there where we could see a period of deflation based upon what's going on. And then from there, we would expect it to go back up. For those of you that are concerned about long-term inflation, if we go back over the last 100 years of history, what we find, average inflation rates settled in at about 2.8%. So even though during the 1970s, we had some very high inflationary periods, other periods of time, when it all settles back in, seems to be right around 2.8%. What I use for my planning is about 3% for going forward of where things will be. But again, you've got to figure it out for yourself, make those calculations in your own retirement and what you should be doing there. Mentioned today, I do want to talk about I-bonds. It is something that has been a hot topic as of late, something that I realized I didn't know as much about as I should have, although I purchased I-bonds for myself and my wife. It is something that I didn't understand at the level I thought I did. So I put some research in, thought it would be good to be able to share that information with each of you to give you maybe another option to help deal with this inflationary issue that we're dealing with from a small scale. Now, understand, when we talk about I-bonds, which are inflation-adjusted treasury bonds, really they're a savings bond that's 100% backed by the federal government. What we're talking about is a bond that's only going to allow you to invest so much money into it. And that maximum investment is going to be $10,000 per year per person for electronic bonds. And then you can invest $5,000 per person additional into paper bonds if you use your tax refund. So we do have some restrictions there. Now, you can buy bonds each year, so it's not a $10,000 and I'm done. You could buy $10,000 here in 2022, then 2023, be able to buy another $10,000 worth of bonds. And again, using your tax refund, if you have the ability to do that, buy another $5,000 each year of paper bonds to be able to increase those assets. So what we're talking about here, folks, is not a end-all be-all to your retirement investing. And I mentioned before that Social Security is the only source of inflation-adjusted income for most people. When we look at trying to get other sources of inflation-adjusted income, yes, this may be a place to get inflation-type returns, but it's not going to work like some of the annuities out there that as the market goes up, you'll be able to get more money out of there to help you keep up with inflation. So we do have those limits of the amount you can invest inside of there. Understand that with the electronic portion, you can buy these starting at $25 and then increments of one penny up into the $10,000. So if you're someone who doesn't even have the money to put in here at the max amount, if you just want to get started, put $100 into this type of investment, you would be able to do that. If you're looking at those paper bonds, minimum investment is $50. There are thresholds there. You can't buy $55 of paper bonds. You're going to have to go in increments of 50, 100, 200, 500, or 1,000. So you do have limited access there from the standpoint of what you buy, but you would be able to get access to those bonds if you choose to do so to help you use them in your retirement planning to help deal with inflation. Understand these I-bonds are matured after 30 years. So when we look at it, in theory, you could hold this bond for a 30-year period of time. If you hold it for 31 years, you will not be getting any additional interest on that last year. They will only earn interest for a 30-year period of time. You do have to own them for at least 1 year. So understand that if you are getting into these, there is going to be some restrictions. You're not going to be able to get out of it until the end of the first year. And then if you do get out of it between there and the fifth year, if you don't hold them for at least 5 years, you can get out, but you're going to lose 3 months of interest. So the last 3 months that would have been credited to you for the period of time that you owned those bonds, you would end up losing that interest. So just understand the way that works. Also understand the way the interest is credited to these. So you are going to get it added into you to the value of your assets. It's not going to be compounded, but you are going to get monthly interest. Right now, it's 9.62%. This is why they're so popular. When we look at the rate of return on 100% backed security from the federal government, that's getting almost 10%. Very hard not to catch the eye of many people. Well, you will be getting credited on a monthly basis interest, but it's not going to compound until every 6 months. So if you've got the money sitting inside there and you've got $10,000, you would get a monthly increase of the 1/12 of 9.62%. But then every 6 months, you would get it posted to your account. And then from there, it would be able to compound on top of not only the $10,000 that you had in there, but 6 months at 9.62%. That would then also start compounding interest. So it's not a monthly or daily, weekly compounding. You're going to get an every 6 month compounding of that interest, which again, not bad, but yes, it would be nice if we get a quicker compound on there, but you will get that at the end of 6 months. The interest is calculated and posted on a 6 month basis. Understand that from a increase or decrease of the interest, it's going to happen every May 1st, and every November 1st. So if you look at where the interest rates are right now, 9.62% in October 2022, we're going to get a new rate. And then effective November 1st, that will be the new rate for anyone who purchases bonds after that point, or anyone who has bonds that their maturity for a 6 month period of time comes during that period of time to where you would get that posted. So let me try to explain this. If you were to look at this, if you were to buy bonds in July of 2020, obviously you're not in May and you're not in November. You're buying in July. So your 6 month posting window for your 9.62% is going to go out 6 months from when you purchase those, starting at the first day of the month. So you'd have July, August, September, October, November, and December. And then starting in January, whatever that interest rate is that the government gives us in October, starting November 1, that's what your next 6 month interest would be calculated at. And then that would go for 6 months. And whatever the May one is, back starting again in July, you would then have a change in your interest rate. So hopefully that makes sense. Every 6 months, you're getting a recalculation of that interest throughout time. It is made up of two factors. So we do have two factors of interest. We have a fixed guarantee rate, and then we have a variable inflation rate. Right now, the fixed guarantee rate is zero. So nobody's going to be buying these bonds out there based upon the fixed rate. But because inflation is so high right now, you've got that variable rate of 9.62%. Now, as inflation drops over time, we're going to see that amount go down. Again, if we go into a deflationary period, you may be making hardly anything on these type of investments. So great during high inflationary periods, not so good, especially in deflation period. We get to average inflation. What we're going to expect is maybe a 3%, 4%, 5% rate of return. Definitely not going to be getting what we are looking at right now. Few things to understand about who can own these. If we look at the ownership, you can own them individually. You can own them in a business, or you can own them in a trust. You cannot own them in an IRA or 401k. Your wife or husband, if you're married, can also own these. Your children can own them. You can buy them for them as well. Unlimited gifts. You can gift away as many as you want, but understand if someone's already purchased bonds. So if I were to give my wife $10,000 of I bonds, and where she already has them, those would not get posted to her account until 2023, because she's already got her $10,000 of I bonds for this year. So please don't get that confused thinking that I can just package them up. My wife can buy some, I can buy some for her, my kids can buy some. Somehow you're going to get $50,000 or $60,000 per year bonds. That's not going to happen. $10,000 maximum from the electronic side, $5,000 from the paper side. Also understand when we look at this that these cannot be purchased by a broker. You are going to have to go to treasurydirect.gov. This is where you purchase these directly from the government. Again, having done so myself, very quick process. process, I think, took me 5 to 10 minutes is all, to be able to get the account set up, link a bank account so they could just pull the money out of there and then get the investment put into it.
More than 50% of CPAs will run out of money in retirement, and this number is projected to grow because of risks like inflation, increased longevity, and rising healthcare costs. Retirement Risks Advisors has the perfect solution to help CPAs make their money last as long as they do. Learn more by signing up for our flagship webinar, Getting Safely Through Retirement. In this webinar, we share the top 10 financial risks CPAs will face in retirement and what can be done to reduce or eliminate each risk. To get started, visit retirementriskadvisors.com/safe.
Let me now finish by going through some reasons for purchasing these bonds. I'm going to go through 4 reasons of why you may purchase these and then 4 things that you should consider before you purchase. Some of them we'll have already covered, but just want to make sure we cover them in more detail. One good reason to purchase them is they're a great inflation hedge. Again, right now where we've got high inflation, going to get a higher rate of return, which isn't necessarily what's happening in your bank accounts. Now, interest rates are going up, but those interest rates will then push inflation down. So right now, it's a great strategy to look at. Number 2, 5% potential guaranteed rate of return. Again, as we look back over history, what these bonds have returned, they've been returning about 5% on average. Obviously, some periods like right now where it's much higher than that, we've had periods where it's been much lower, but as you look at it as a long-term investment, may be able to get out of there about 5% guaranteed by the federal government. There are some tax benefits. I did not talk about these. This is number 3. There are tax benefits out there, not from a federal side, but from a state side. They are taxed from a federal government side, but state and local taxes do not apply to the I bonds. If you're in somewhere like California, New York, where you've got high taxes, maybe an option to get some state and local tax-free money that you have coming in. Again, if you do it for a number of years, obviously it could be substantial amounts of money. If you're doing a 1-year $10,000 investment, may not have that much of an impact anyway. And number 4, redemption value can't decline. So this is an investment where you're going to be able to get whatever you put into it. If you put a $10,000 amount into the investment, you'll be able to get that $10,000 back plus any increase that has happened over the period of time that you've held the bond until you end up deciding to sell it, whether it be after that first year, whether it be sometime after the 5th year or any time in between going up to 30 years. What are some things that I would recommend that you consider if you're looking at these? Number 1 is the lack of flexibility, not only from a holding period, and you've got to be in there 12 months, but also there's no third-party market for these. You cannot go and sell these to someone else. You can't sell them on the market to a friend. You've got to send them back to the government, which, again, creates some lack of flexibility, requires you to have that during the 12 months, allows them to run all the calculations maybe needed after that 12-month period before year 5 to figure out how much interest they would be taking away from you for those 3 months. And then after that, they would pay you out in accordance with whatever you'd earned on the bond plus your initial investment. Number 2, inflation drops, your return will drop. Now, as I look at this, especially with where we're at right now, not a huge concern to me, but something you need to be aware of and want to keep track of, because if we do go into a period of deflation, maybe wise to sell them, even if it is during your 5-year window. Once you've got past year 1, even if you're giving up one quarter of your annual rate of return, if that's going to drop down below what you could get a investment at in a third party, some other type of investment, maybe a great opportunity for you to just dump the bond, get your money back, even though it's going to be a little short for that 3-month period of time, maybe be able to have the money available to put into something else. But again, for many people, $10,000 is not a big enough amount that it's going to make a huge impact on their overall retirement, but can be a way to make that money be a little more productive during times of high inflation, during low inflation, may want to look at other options. Number 3, you can only purchase $15,000 per year. And this does create problems when we're looking at retirement. The average retiree from a government standpoint, say we should have about $375,000 set aside for our retirement. I educate and work primarily with CPAs and their high net worth clients. Most of those are way above average from an income and an asset standpoint. Many of them will have 7 figures or more set aside. So $15,000 is not going to make a huge impact on their retirement, but maybe worth, again, putting some money over there that they just have laying around that's not being productive. And the last one, can you make more money elsewhere? And this is when we look at all investments, we've got to look at what are the benefits that can come from putting that money to work somewhere else versus where we're putting it to work whether it be an I-bond, some other type of investment that we would look at to help us out. So folks, if you are looking to get into I-bonds, if this has piqued your interest, you would like to put some money into them, go to treasurydirect.gov. This is where you'll be able to get access to them. And great resource right now, why we have high inflation can help us deal with some of the inflation pressures that we're facing, knowing that you're not getting that money out of your bank accounts. But as things change, if we go in that period of deflation, definitely not going to be recommending I-bonds to anyone during that period of time because your rates of return will be so low. Expectation is you would be able to get more than that even out of bank accounts if you look at where interest rates are heading and where we're going, definitely from a stock market standpoint and from a secure standpoint. If we're looking at truly dealing with inflation problems, one of the things we want is guaranteed income that's inflation adjusted. I always find it interesting that people love Social Security because of the lifetime inflation adjusted guaranteed income that comes in, but don't feel the same way oftentimes about annuities, although they're great annuities out there, can provide you those same benefits and if structured correctly, even be tax-free. Don't have to worry about provisional income calculations on there where you may be paying tax like you would on your Social Security. So it acts like a better asset, but yet so many people don't even contemplate that for their overall retirement. My name's Dave Hall. I'm your host. Please join me again next week where I'll bring back another guest to talk about items that you need to know about to help you not only identify, but also to reduce and eliminate the risks facing your retirement.
And that's today's episode. Thanks for listening. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe to wherever you get your podcast. We come out with a new episode every Friday morning and you don't want to miss it. And don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify if that would really help us out.
The Retirement Risk Show is a production of the Retirement Risk Advisors. Our show was produced by C.R. Talin and Autumn Koenig. If you're a CPA looking for more retirement education, visit retirementriskadvisors.com to sign up for more than 15 free CPE retirement webinars.